Hello, and welcome back to Nancy Goodame, the Space Ranger. You're listening to Chapter 3. Now, at this stage, you should know that Nancy McGinley, Bart McMurrow, and Jerry Staunton were the first humans to land on Mars. But Jerry took off and left Bart and Nancy at the ESA research station known as Eber Base. And a local Martian named Hubble Gubbersnatch came to warn them of a cantabular glimp on the loose, and that they should leave the area and go to Mars City. On their way, they met a posse of Martians looking for the glimp, and Nancy was given a crossbow. Chapter 2 ended with Nancy, Bart, and Hubble hearing the glimp. Quick, lie face down in the dirt behind those shrubs. Hiding won't help, Bart. It's sound and movement that attracts glimps. Did you not hear the sheriff? Said Nancy. I did, but he's a knob, and I'm not going to take a chance on the advice of a knob, so I'm taking cover. You two do what you want. Bart dived down into the dust. Nancy carefully and silently followed. Hubble was last to take cover. They were lying prone beside each other, with the soles of their feet pointed away from the crater towards where Hubble said Mars City could be found. It was now full daylight on Mars, but a low purple thorn bush hid them from the sight of anything at the edge of the crater. Nancy gripped the crossbow tight and pointed the riser towards where she imagined the glimp to be. She was shaking. If she was to take a shot now, only luck would guide it to the anterior vestibule of the creature. Hubble must have sensed the fact that Nancy was upset, because he said, Don't worry, Nancy. They'll still be doing breakfast till well into the afternoon. Mars City is that sort of place. Another plus side, the food is rotten, so if you die, you'll have missed out on nothing. Clack, 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 went the noise. It was faint, but distinctive. Bart raised his head enough to see over the bush and immediately ducked back down again. Is it there, Bart? Asked Nancy. It is. Can you not hear it? Replied Hubble. I've been living on Mars my whole life, and that is definitely the most cantabular glimp-like noise I've ever heard. What else could it be? I wasn't asking you, whispered Nancy. I think so, Nancy. I saw something moving on the edge of the crater, replied Bart. Well, now that's a bit rude to dismiss me like that, Nancy. If I was on Earth and I met an Earthian that had risked their life to go onto whatever the Bontoglian plane is called on Earth to warn me about whatever cantabular glimps are named on Earth, then I'd be sure not to dismiss them when they gave an answer to a question. Clack, 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 went the noise again. And if my aunt had balls, she'd be me uncle, noted Bart. I don't understand what you mean by this, Bart. What are balls, and why would your aunt have them? Just whisht a bobble, will you? Snapped Bart. And a bobble whisht, or as close to whishting as he could manage to get to. Okay, I will, he said, but only because we are being stalked by a glimp, not because you told me to. Bart, Hubble, and Nancy lay in silence for some time. The clacking eventually began fading slightly. Bart looked up again. It was a tentative and slow look, and prompted him to say, I can't see it. Do you reckon the glimp is using the edge of the crater to track your buddies, Hubble? You mean Buddadaw, and Gubslamph, and Elbron, and Pudsnanker, and Flirnt, and Jemima, and Arndlow, and the deputy, and the sheriff? Well, yeah, that lot. And the glimp is using the elevation to echolocate them. I don't know. What do you think? Well, if you don't know, what hope do we have? This is the first time either myself or Nancy have been stalked by a Martian glimp. A cantabular glimp, you mean? Quiet, snapped Nancy. The clicking grew louder, and Bart ducked back down, and Hubble said, That glimp must have heard us. And Nancy said, Shut up. And all three went quiet. Now, if you're ever unlucky enough to be stalked by a cantabular glimp, you will know that it is about as terrifying as life can get. Whether the echolocation pulses can physically disturb the air or not is a question for science. But the effect is a thick soup of tension that gradually dulls your hearing until the rhythmic clack, clack, clack is the only thing on your mind and in your senses. Swoop! Went the noise. It shattered the tension and drowned out the sound of the glimp. An enormous rocket ship scorched a trail of smoke above the landscape. Its shape and colour was not unlike that of a mackerel. Well, a giant metal flying one. Jupiterians! Yelled Hubble. Beams of light shot from the underside of the massive craft. Each one buried itself into the red dust, fizzled and disappeared. The lights created a pattern of holes in the ground as the rocket roared into the distance. What are they doing? Yelled Bart. Who knows? They're Jupiterians, replied a bobble. Nancy found herself standing upright and pointing the crossbow in the direction of the rocket. It had been an instinctive move, something that happened before she realised. Hey, there's no point shooting that thing at them, said a bobble. We tried, but it's like shooting an arrow against lightning. Nancy glanced nervously towards the edge of the crater as a bobble spoke. He must have sensed her anxiety again, because he then said, Hey, on the plus side, that'll put the markers on the Cantabular Glimp. Can you be sure about that, Hababble? Absolutely, I can be completely sure. I'd say probably a decent chance it's bolted back into the crater. Nancy looked back from the crater to where the Jupiterian spacecraft had just disappeared over the mountainous horizon. That ship seems to have followed the trajectory Jerry was taking on the Shanlike. Do you think they could be looking for us? Or him, Bart? Don't be paranoid, Nancy. Jerry is two ends of a pair of balls. What would aliens want with him? Hababble loudly cleared his throat. Do you mind if I answer this, Nancy? He asked. No. Good, because it bears saying that Jupiterians are dangerous and sneaky and ugly and stupid and smell of cheese and lazy, but they're also smart. What do you mean? How are they stupid and smart? I don't know, Bart. Such is the mystery of our solar system. But the one thing they are is dangerous and sneaky. I'd say they simply want to torture your friend to find out how to build a spacecraft like his, and then build it. It's exactly the kind of thing Jupiterians would do, and do, especially since Sozman Borkstapel took control of the place. What place? Asked Nancy. Jupiter, where else would I be talking about? Replied Hababble. I wish you two would stop asking questions. I've forgotten what I was saying. Hababble, Bart and Nancy fell briefly silent. Oh yeah, now I remember. We should get breakfast, or at least move, before the glimp comes back. Shut up and lie face down on the ground, shouted Bart. I mean, he coughed and repeated his sentence quietly. Shut up and lie in the dirt. There's something moving at the top of the ridge. Bart, Nancy and Hababble dived back down behind the purple-thorned bush. It gave them some cover from anything on the top of the ridge. Bart craned his neck to look towards the ridge. Is it the glimp? Asked Hababble. No, it's that fat muppet of a deputy you have, and he's wobbling all over the place. I think he's drunk. I doubt it, said Hababble. The sheriff is teetotal, and a bit evangelical about it too. There's no way he'd let the posse bring drink, especially not while hunting a glimp. Could he be injured? Asked Nancy. Well, why don't you ask him? He's headed this way. The deputy's arrival at the spot where Nancy, Bart and Hababble lay was heralded by several moans and groans. I'd say he's injured, noted Bart. Yep, definitely injured. His face is covered in blood. He knelt on one knee for a better look. Not sure I give a shit, he added. Scrang! The noise was sharp and came from somewhere beyond the ridge. It was followed by shouting and an unmistakable clack, clack, clack. The muffled groans of pain were now close. Nancy instinctively leapt to her feet and grabbed the deputy down into the dirt so that he was lying alongside herself, Bart and Hababble. What happened? Were you followed? She asked. The deputy's voice croaked. I cannot say for sure. Nancy raised her head, strained her eyes and tried to see movement, but there was none. She gripped her weapon. Well then say for approximately then, snapped Bart. The deputy gave a cough and cleared his throat. I don't know. If there's a word for what I saw, possibly there's one in the old hieroglyphic language, but nobody speaks that anymore. Mars City is a very cosmopolitan place, you know, and the old languages have mostly died out. I suppose the word Pan-Gagan would fit, but I'm not sure how you would go about spelling it. What do you reckon, Hababble? Not the name, you fool, snapped Bart. Describe what happened. I saw the glimp. Never thought I'd actually see one and live to tell the tale. Did any of you ever see the travelling show about the unnotorious glump known as Blardan? What? No, replied Nancy. Maybe you should just be quiet. Oh, that's a pity, because it looks exactly like the glimp, only Blardan would be bigger. 16 times bigger. Nancy poked the rise of her crossbow towards the edge of the crater. She could not see anything moving, but the clack, clack, clack was unmistakable. Sorry, wait, I tell a lie, 14 times bigger would be more like it. And it was had a much rounder, headier claw. It killed Elber and Podsnanker with it. Shush, Nancy. With the exception of the sheriff, Elber and Podsnanker, was the best fighter in our crew, poor lad. Smart lad too, though, at least when he was alive. Well, what's this now, he used to say to me. Whisht! Always run away from a fight. No, wait. Sorry, I got that wrong. Never run away from a fight. Will you shut up? Do you know, it's probably for the best I got that mixed up. Otherwise, I'd have probably stayed and be dead by now. Enough! Put a sock in it now! Snapped Nancy. She could sense the glimp approaching. She was not sure how, but she knew it was close. And it knew they were close to wit. Still, poor Elbron Podsnacker, himself and the wife had a holiday booked for the end of the month. Silence! Would have been the first time they'd been away in 6 years, what with everything that's been going on with those Jupiterians. Nancy silently released the latch on her weapon and moved it sideways. Tonk! The arrow slammed into the side of the deputy's head, piercing his skull. Nancy glanced at Bart and Abobble with demented eyes. The look let them know they would best be quiet. Nancy silently retrieved the arrow. Something told her she would need a full quiver for what was coming. She crawled a comfortable distance away from the motionless deputy and reloaded. And that's the end of Chapter 3. Fair play to you if you're still hanging around. Chapter 4 is going to be out, well, in about, I suppose, in about an hour. So, alright, take her handy. Fair play to you.